Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and distribution systems, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, the many customization options ensure that your space is tailored to your unique needs. Hey, we use them here at Walk and Talk. Say goodbye to chaos and hello to order with Metro Shelving. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency. The views and opinions on this episode of the Walk and Talk podcast do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of any on-air personalities, sponsors, partners, or companies affiliated with Walk and Talk Media. Explicit language and sensitive content warning. Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, where you will find the perfect blend of food, fun, and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the number one food podcast in the country. We are podcasting from, we're in downtown Miami. It's hot, it's spicy, and we are here for the F&B at Sea show. Thank you, Jackie Pressinger. You are awesome. First things first, last week, we had Lisa Leventhal. She was on the show, and if you're into barbecue and whiskey, then and you missed that episode, I think you should go back and check it out. It was pretty pretty badass. So today, Jeff is cooking up some Creekstone Farm prime ribeyes. More on that momentarily. Speaking of Creekstone, thank you, Peninsula Food Service, for supplying the proteins for today's production. Chefs in the Central Florida area, Peninsula is the largest distributor of Creekstone Farm beef in the Southeast USA. They are complete with a fully staffed butcher shop to help solve all your kitchen inconsistencies. Check out their dry age program, too. Our guest this week is Chef Jennifer Booker, restaurant owner and food advocate. She's got a pretty amazing resume. I'm going to let her talk all about it. But first, Jeff Jefferson. It's late, and we're having a blast. Pop the clutch, baby. Slam into pre-shift. And what is happening?
You know, it's been a really good day today. I mean, started out very early. Extremely
yes.
early.
Yes.
But I think this opportunity to take the time to have a great dinner with friends was, I think, a blast. And thank you from Peninsula. We did a ribeye today, and it was prime ribeye. I charred them yesterday, just did a beautiful sear. But I want to showcase, because we've got some chefs that are in studio here, that I had to make sure I had to show what Florida is all about. And I wanted to showcase certain herbs, certain blends. So I did a mojito, kind of mojo-driven rub on the actual steak. I wanted to showcase the beautiful Chinese broccoli that's local to Tampa. And I charred that on this actual grill in the same kind of marinade that I did with the steak, the corn, which was the elote that I was trying to, you know, kind of play there as well. I did a green ají verde sauce, which it's the sauce that I'm going to have actually coming out soon called PTSE. Put that, I can't really want to say the S, but it's put that blank on anything. It's just amazing for me to have these individuals in the studio today, and we'll get to them in a second, to showcase them, my food, kind of like it's an outreach of who you are as a chef. It's putting your soul into something, and you want to just introduce people to your cooking. And that's basically what I try to do.
That's pretty awesome. And then there's Jackie Pressinger.
And the backdrop, like right behind me, because I see our two guests looking over my shoulder because I picked the perfect place not to be.
Correct.
And I know what's over my shoulder. It's absolutely gorgeous, isn't it?
It is. It's
because this is our hometown.
Yes.
Straight up.
And it's different. I don't recognize this place, not even an area bit. I really no. don't.
Only that section we went to originally.
No, stop. No. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
All right. But here's the deal. It's the F&B at Sea show. And
it's a great show.
It's badass. It's in two convention centers. It's at the Wynwood Convention Center.
And shuttled over to the Miami Beach Convention Center.
And over at the Miami Beach Convention Center. Right. And do the food and the cocktails and the people. And the speakeasy. Oh, my gosh. It was really, what a great day.
I mean, the speakeasy was just dope.
Wait. Speaking of dope, Pooch is with us today, too.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, yeah, dope. Not like, hey, he's a dope. I just want to be clear about that, you know, because I kind of set that up.
He's off to our left.
You know, Pooch Rivera is in the house.
Yeah, flew in for this too.
But he's all over the place with us now, huh?
Yeah, it's awesome to have him in town too.
Yeah, Pooch, baby. Yeah, man. Yeah. So what floor are we? Was it 23rd floor?
23rd floor.
So we're on the 23rd floor, downtown Miami. It's floor to ceiling windows in this thing. And
the door's open. That's why you heard a siren.
And there's sirens. Yeah, Miami. We're in Miami. There's no question about it. I got the Heat.
Yeah, the Heat just won. Okay, that was clarified.
They're in the playoff game, right?
Today. Yeah, all right, so.
Whatever.
All right, back to food.
Yeah.
So this trade show is a huge deal.
Yeah.
And we came in as press.
Yep.
Walk and Talk podcast, Walk and Talk media. And it's kind of a big deal for us. You know, we're coming along. I mean, we're at like 2.7 million downloads right now.
It's just weird. Yeah.
Stupid.
But that's in 4 months.
In 4 months.
So we're like 1.7 million in 4 months.
Correct. Yeah, because we hit a mill between October of 22 to October of 23.
Yep. So yeah. 1.7 in 4 months.
I mean,
that doesn't add up to me.
No, it doesn't. We're kind of a big deal, but you know.
No,
I'm kidding. We're not. My stomach is. But yeah, we're meeting a lot of really cool people at this show.
Yeah.
As it turns out, you know some folks.
Yeah, it was weird today, right? Running into peeps I haven't seen for a couple years.
I'm not going to name them. I saw two people that I knew in a previous produce life, and I avoided it.
Absolutely. Oh yeah,
yeah. I didn't need that in my life today.
I will tell you some of the plant based products out there that we tried today. That aged Parmesan cheese was just wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there. I mean, kudos to that industry coming to like where it was to where it needs to be. Spectacular.
Yeah.
Man, you have to Chef Rob Hodge. We need to get him on.
Yes.
Yes, little Chef Mini Me. Just got to make sure we have our milk crate for him.
but then we met
Roy.
Yes.
Yes. And
where's Roy from?
Bar Rescue. And then we also met the other one from Severinton.
Yeah.
Barton Severinton.
Yeah. Look, so this is a great great show for us. But more importantly, most importantly, we have the chef, Jennifer Booker, in-house. And to me, she's eclipsing everyone. I don't care about none of these other people. Because right now,
it's her.
And I did, obviously we just did have an eclipse the other day, so it's apropos. And Chef, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
No, thank you for being here. I mean, at the end of the day, we've had some pretty colorful conversation for the last hour and a half here leading up to this podcast. And we're not going to talk about not one bit of it.
Mm.
But I think...
Not if Jenner says it. Yes, she's going to.
Unless you want to, whatever. But here's the thing. You're cool.
Thank you.
You're cool. And before we get into everything, do me a favor. Do the audience a favor. Just maybe do like the airplane view of who you are, what you do, and how you got there.
Absolutely. So I am a professional chef. I'm a culinary educator, a cookbook author, restaurant owner, and a food advocate. Lucky enough to have found my calling straight out of culinary school and am blessed enough to make a living doing what I love.
And how long have you actually been in the business?
More than 10 years.
Okay.
I love that.
Cloak and daggers.
More than 10 years. I'm not trying to find out the age. Okay. I would never do that.
We know who the oldest is, and it's not you, Carl.
No, it's not. No, I'm happy about that. It's probably
I know. It is me.
It is you.
It is 100% me.
I feel great.
Even shots fired. From the millennial.
Millennial. You were talking a bit talk earlier, so yeah.
All right, you deserve that.
We have a whole Airbnb full of chefs. Like this is like, I'm glad there's not a lot of sharp objects or pans to be thrown, because I'll tell you what, this is
no. That we had a beverage person come in, so we're very sedated. Mm.
Yeah, I have
a sommelier.
Yes. Cookbook editor and a sommelier to join the chef to keep us civilized.
Yes, and he's done a really good job.
I tell you. So also here from the Henry is Chef Darren C. Thompson, executive chef. So also welcome being here.
Now, and then what's the connection between Chef Booker and yourself?
So...
I love this story.
Chef Booker is a mentor of mine, right? She's taken care of me in this culinary business when a lot of chefs have not, you know. I appreciate her. I respect her. She invited me tonight to be here with her. And that's why I'm here, just to be a part of Chef Jennifer Booker.
That is the sweetest thing I have ever heard from a chef in my entire 30 years of this business.
But see, and that's what we don't hear as chefs. We do this day in and out. And I know, Chef, I'm going to speak for Chef Booker possibly, and she might jump in, and I apologize if I am out of tune.
I'm fairly certain that she will jump in.
Yeah. Alpha male. Yeah, female. that's part of the whole other story. Anyhow, what you just witnessed was a true testament of what a true chef is. You know, you ask about what the difference between a chef and a cook is, and then there's so many different people out there saying it. What you just witnessed was what the difference between a chef and a cook is. That bond that the chef saw a special thing in him that encouraged him not to give up on that final whatever it was he needed to achieve. She saw something in him, that bright light. And that's what we do. We see things, and that he'll pay that forward to his one that he sees that light, and so on and so forth. And that is just a beautiful thing. So thank you for educating him and that.
Absolutely.
And all of us. So that was beautiful.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
So not only are you all the things that you are, but you're also a mentor.
Mm.
And your mentee is here.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of the mentees, probably. I mean, I'm sure there's a line of them. I have to believe that. Just by the hour and a half conversation, I know this is true.
She's one of my mentors. Oh, I mean, God. What she's been through, everything in the last 3 or 4 years that we've known each other, yeah.
Well, a mentor is not the physical of what you've done for someone, right? A mentor is the light that you shine, right?
The positivity example, that you can. The example we need to lead.
You know, and so that's where it lies here, you know? It's the example. I was introduced to Chef Booker by another chef who's my mentor, who they shared a mentor, right? And the light that she showed and the light that she shined upon me, it stuck with me forever. And it will always continue to stick with me, you know?
Man.
You have an official hype man.
You're a personal cheerleader.
No, that's really and cool to detail, hear.
Okay? That's right.
And security detail. Yes. Heard it first here.
Because being in the industry and looking for someone that looked like me, a black female in the industry, it was no one I could find that represented that. So then you look for another mentor that could back you up. They didn't want anything from you, but to see you do well. And to be able to pay that forward is huge because, you know, for me, I'm still in the industry. I'm still doing my thing. I'm still wanting to succeed and make a difference. But to have other chefs who look at me and say, yo, you're a shining light for what I want to do is nothing I plan to do or aspire to be. But the fact that I could be that for them is really humbling because I looked for that my entire career and didn't find it. So to be that for someone else is very huge.
That is very special.
Mm-hmm.
How did your Southern heritage and French training influence your style of cuisine?
Oh, absolutely. So my family is from the Mississippi Delta, and we own land and we have farms. And I grew up watching my grandparents, my great aunts and uncle work the land and, you know, raise chickens and the garden and slaughter hogs and all those things. And I went to culinary school, which was classical French, and then was able to work in the industry and then go to Le Cordon Bleu in Paris, France, which I call my finishing school. And people are like, well, how does Southern and French like go together? I'm like, well, if you know the history of America, you know that the slaves cooked the foods of the slave owners. So perhaps your slave owner was French, or maybe they were Spanish, or maybe they were British. So for me, they were French. And if you look at culinary cuisine and you do a braise, that's French, right? So if you do other types of cuisine and you look at where it came from, that is a French influence. So my heritage is definitely deep-rooted, deep South, but with that French influence. And it's a, I call it, different sides of the same culinary coin. If you do French, you definitely do Southern. If you do Southern, definitely do French.
Experience the perfect blend of culinary delights, entertainment, and education on the number one food podcast in the country, Walk and Talk Podcast. Join host Carl Fiadini and the amazing chef Jeffrey Schlissel. Feed your appetite. Find this podcast on Apple and Spotify.
So you have a thriving community, I would say. And how do you engage, you know, regarding cookbooks and demonstrations, and how are you engaging with everyone?
Wow, that's a big question.
And you know, when you're speaking with people, does that influence where any direction culinarily speaking that you're going to head? Or is it just like, hey, you know what, I have my own way and that's kind of where I'm going to go with it? Or,
well, I think it's, you have to be authentic, right? Like, this is where I come from. This is what I know. This is what I cook. But I'm not so arrogant to say I can't learn from everybody I talk to. Like, well, what is your experience? And what do you cook? And where do you come from? And where do we meet, right? Oh, you love slow cooking beans and greens, and maybe you do whole hog barbecue. Okay, I can recognize that because that's where I come from. So I think for me, I'm very humble in the sense that I can always learn more. And where I come from is very small in the huge umbrella of culinary cuisine. And so I can talk to you or Chef Jeffrey or Chef Darren, and we all come from different places. Chef Pooch, my friend Deanna, who's a cookbook editor, the sommelier, like we are coming from somewhere else, but we learn from one another. And I think as a chef, if you stop learning, like, you might as well pack up your knives and go home because Amen. It's done.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I can testify to that because you and I have had some culinary conversations in the kitchen from another organization we've been involved with. She is just a delight. She's not that type of person that you look at her and be, that's who she is, and she's not going to be wanting to talk to you. She's so inviting, and you can talk to her in a level that any person can talk to her.
You don't have
including
to,
you.
You don't have to turn me on to this.
I witnessed the
conversation, but it was great.
No, trust me. I was sitting there eating. Look, Pooch and I were like sitting there snickering. He's like, "Hey, great job." I'm like, "Yeah, me too."
So obviously, conversation is what I do.
Yes,
for a living.
Yes.
All right.
Really?
You think what? All right. We're talking. You're part of or you've been part and are part of various foundations. Mm-hmm. Why don't you name a few?
Sure. So I came out with my first cookbook, Fill Peas to Foie Gras, Southern Recipes with a French Accent. So I'm doing a cookbook signing at a Barnes & Noble in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And they're like, oh, we can set you up with a foundation and a percentage of your sales will go to this foundation. And I'm like, so green. And I'm like, well, I don't know. And I'm with there with University of Oklahoma. Oklahoma State University. And they're like, how about Oklahoma State University? And I'm like, you're right. That would be a great one. And so I set up a scholarship foundation in my name because I went to Oklahoma State University, Okmulgee, back in the day. And now it's Oklahoma State University Institute of Technology. It's very, you know, bespoke. And so I set up that scholarship and I was like, I went to culinary school on a scholarship because I was still paying back a private school university loan and could not afford to go anywhere else. So I look at that as a way to, you know, pay it forward. So that's one organization. I'm the immediate past president of La Dame Escoffier International Atlanta chapter. And
that's a big deal, by the way.
Sure is.
Thank you. It was, I think being an officer's wife prepared me for being president of an organization of very headstrong, opinionated women. And we'll leave it there. So, you know, I have that.
Stay clear.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been involved with American Culinary Federation. Yeah. It's different. There's a new organization that came about during COVID. It's called Let's Talk Women. And we just came together to survive COVID, right? So we're restaurant owners, entrepreneurs, and how can we get through this freaking pandemic?
Is this all female?
It's called Let's Talk Women. So if you identify as a woman, you could be part of the organization. Yes, Pooch, you can join.
Because clearly I want to jump into that.
Well, right? In this day and time, if you say, yo, I am a she, he.
No question.
No, but there's no she.
No, my absolutely. Pronouns are yes, chef. That's it.
Stop.
Her.
But yeah, so this was an
I'm glad I got you guys over there.
They're just snickering. But yeah, so we were like, what can we do to help one another get through this pandemic? And so, you know, that's an organization that is near and dear. And my whole thing is I came up loving culinary cuisine and being able to go to culinary school domestically on a scholarship, being able to go to Le Cordon Bleu in Paris, France, and paying, but getting some scholarship money for that as well. And I like to pay that forward because I honestly believe that in our industry, if we don't help someone else, we're not going to learn.
Yeah. Again, paying it forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So being in the food service industry.
Yes.
Especially if you start when you're, you know, teenager, early 20s. Mm. We all have stories, mm-hmm. right? And
he's probably that age.
He's like so excited. Oh, what's
the he's talk? Like, he's
like, hold on, yeah. How did I get here?
All right, hold on.
Dude, you are the youngest here.
I'm the youngest here, okay?
You probably are.
I've got more grays than all you, but I'm not.
No, you're wrong. Have you not looked at that?
You know you're wrong.
Okay. I retract my statement.
Right.
I'm older than him. I just want to go on record. I am older than that.
Yeah. Each one of these is
his kids gave them that this morning. Yeah.
These were from before my kids, man. All right. So there's a journey and there are experiences. And again, when you start when you're younger and you're in this thing, crazy stuff happens. Do you have anything that you can think of? Crazy story, you know, something fun or not. That you can kind of put out there for the audience.
Attention chefs and food buyers. Are you looking to improve your proteins program with quality and service by the best in the beef business? Reach out to Peninsula Food Service. With 25 butchers on staff, their services will dazzle you and impress your dining guests.
Peninsula is the largest Creekstone Farm distributor in the Southeast United States. Let the gang at Peninsula Food Service cut your beef burdens away and ask about their dry-aged program. Look them up at peninsulafood.com.
I would say crazy was working at a golf club in an unknown city where it was just me and one other female cook. And when it was slow, all the male cooks, the servers would go into the conference room and watch porn.
Well, why not?
And they're like, so do y'all want to come watch porn with us?
Surprise.
And we're like, absolutely not. We're going to practice these recipes. But it was...
I'm actually shocked.
You're not shocked. I'm not shocked.
Where was I? Yeah.
In the conference room you're referring to is the walk-in, I'm guessing.
No, it was actually the conference room of this country club.
Oh, my goodness.
They do worse than the walk-in. You got to go to the walk-in.
You're in the walk-in now.
And the expectation was, why don't y'all come and watch porn with us? And it was that plus it was not a locker room for girls, right? So we had to use the guys' locker room. Getting cornered in the stairs and having to like punch somebody because like this is not gonna go down like you think it's gonna go down. So those are the stories of
The horror stories of our industry.
Coming of age of a woman industry.
Of a woman, yeah.
But there's also the good industry stories of having a mentor who said, I respect what you do, I like what you do, give me a chance. And so for my whole thing is I believe that pie is infinite. We can each have a slice. There's enough for everybody. Mm-hmm. I also believe, maybe naively, that boys and girls can be friends. And maybe I'm the only one that believes that. My mentor tells me, well, baby, that's not going
to
really happen.
Are we going to go back to the alpha?
No,
and the alpha?
We're not going to go back. Right, but no. I believe that success is infinite. We can help each other. Let's not have the crab in a barrel mentality. But that's just me. Not everybody believes that to be a real thing.
I just want to go back up to something.
Because
you painted a picture that happens.
Yeah.
You know, and it's changing now in our current, you know, in society now. There are a lot more females in the business than there ever has been. And I do think things are changing. That's from my perspective, and you know, in the cities and areas where I work, and I'm around the restaurants and hotels and clubs. With that said, I recall being in the business back in the early 90s, and some of those things would happen. But here's the cool part, because you're gonna have degenerates. No matter what, and you find them, right. But then there's all of your comrades from the kitchen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even some front of the house folks, and we've dealt with those people before,
right?
Because you know, at the end of the day, you don't allow that to happen,
right?
And you know what I mean. So I just wanted to. You know, there's another side to that, and you know, for all the bad, there's good as well. And, you know, and I just hope that the culture is changing.
Oh, definitely.
And I think the more the talk we have with chefs like Chef Jennifer just mentioned and had their experiences, the more we talk about this, that the more it will be for other women to come out and say, hey, that's not appropriate. And then stand up to that, because it's not. There's a very select few of us. And I'm definitely a huge advocate of having women. And like my last job, my restaurant, I had before I left, I just had nothing but female line, and I loved it because the camaraderie I felt with them, the familyness I had of being part of let them, not just me being the chef, but them letting me be a part of them.
Yeah.
That to me was just a blessing for me to have that opportunity. There's that's what the mentality has to be when we move with our cooks as chefs. We have to make this bond that excuse me, for the lesson matter of fact, that we have to make this bond that we're not just above them. We're equals, but we're there to define what our roles are. And
well, that's because you're a decent human being.
Yeah. Well, because we've also been to some really crappy chefs and we don't want to be them.
Well, I'll be honest, like in my career, so there's female chefs who want to work and do the job, right? And I've been told you're not strong enough. And oh, we had a female chef and she quit because she couldn't lift the stock pot or she couldn't do A, B, and C. And then you have the female chef that, and I'll say it, maybe it's not popular, who, you know, you get promoted because you're on your knees. And it makes it harder for the chefs who don't do that. And maybe it's better, progressive, et cetera, but there's still that chef who does that that takes it, you know, a decade back from the chefs who are just working hard and using their talent to get ahead.
Yeah, I think there's strength to be said in the female chef right now. Even in my kitchen right now, we're looking to promote and I'm looking at females because right now there's power in the women movement, right? In the world, you know, we have always had women take a back seat to men, right? But to be brutally honest, right, they're more smarter, right? They approach situations with a more level head, you know, than the men. It's a lot of egotistic, you know, involved with men's approach to leadership.
I got one for you. Who taught you how to cook?
Chef Jennifer Booker.
Oh, and she's a female.
Here we go.
See, sure, wait, no. She's a female, right?
Jeff was going for something. Not who just taught me how to cook.
But cooking, hold on. Cooking is a skill, but to be a chef is an art.
Right.
Right. Who taught me how to be a chef? Right. How to be a leader?
Right.
Right. How to captivate.
But who gave you the passion?
Chef Booker.
Right. So a female gave it to you.
Of course.
Well, my point is my mom gave me the passion.
She gave us the passion.
Right. So when I looked at that at 12 years old and said, Mom, I want to cook this, after she picked up her mouth up off the floor and was like, okay, well, let's go get the, I remember, chicken scallopini and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
That is the epitome of what a great chef is, because that person that's teaching you is doing it because you have that, you asked that question.
But look, when I was 12 and when you were 12, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was not.
We're not the same age.
It was frowned upon. No, we're not the same age.
There's a big difference.
This guy's I'm old enough to be your father. My grandfather.
I could be old enough to be your grandfather.
There was this outlook on a male that cooking was.
Yes.
Of a woman.
Yep.
You know,
and so you were a chef.
I know where I'm from, right?
Oh, no. I was the only chef in my family.
And
chef.
I can believe that where you're from, you know, the same outlook was that, you know, as a
man, that's not a real job.
You don't freaking.
Nope, that's not a real job.
Why would you be cooking? You know, you got a woman, you got a wife at home. Why would you be cooking? And so from you to me, you know, I'm not far from you. I don't know how far you're at, but I know you ain't born in 92.
Oh, wow.
Shots fired. Oh, my God.
But I do know that the male image has never been.
I could be your father.
I know that. You could.
Might be his father.
Let me call my mother. There were a few questions that night.
Was your mother in Miami during
December 29th, 1992? There were a lot of questions that night.
Listen, in August, that's when Andrew hit. Okay,
look, I had long curly hair when I was born. And she said, "Oh no,
really? You had curly hair,
Dad? Look at you.
You had the Jufro. Oh, jeez.
Look at that. But look at the eyes. Look at the eyes."
Yeah,
we need Oprah or Mari here to intermediate.
Not Mari.
Yeah, Mari. Yeah, Mari does the reveals.
Oh my goodness.
Where's the DNA test?
But honestly, though, you know.
No, and that's my point. When you look at the mentorship, and that's what we forget. And what really bothers me about chefs that look at women in that interrogatory, like subhuman.
Mm. But who the hell does that?
There's a lot of chefs. You just heard Chef Booker talk about it.
Yeah, but no, but that's not subhuman. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
To me, it's such a different.
Nope.
And Chef Booker
was subhuman.
No, when you do this,
I worked in San Francisco with Chef Dominic Crenn, right from France.
We'll be throwing names out there.
She was the first woman chef with 3 Michelin stars in the U.S. Right. But in France, they wouldn't recognize her because in France, the chefs, right? Escoffier, you know, these guys, they were men.
Being wrong on an idea doesn't equate to it being subhuman. I'm so sorry.
It's not, no,
the,
no.
The definitions that's the wrong terminology.
But on an idea, stand on you that. Said on an idea, but on a principle fact that this this chef is worthy enough for all the praise that all these male chefs, Roger Vergier, Escoffier, got, you know, it's not about idea. Idea is science. You know, it's proven, you know, that this chef creates great food. They are pushing the boundaries in this industry, but they have to take a back seat because they're a woman opposed to a man. Penis?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what it is, you know. It's not ideas.
For me, here's my bottom line in on this one, is that anybody that holds a woman to a substandard of a man that can't lift a pot or can't do anything, remember your mama.
Yeah.
Your mama did it.
It's interesting.
It's point blank. That's my thing. Yeah. And that's my argument. My mom is the one that gave me my palate. If it wasn't for my mother, I wouldn't have the palate I have today. It doesn't matter who I went through the ranks or who I worked with or who what. It's my mom that gave me that. And if my mom can lift that flour bag or whatever it was to do it, then that's what she did.
But look, think about it. Anybody at this table, right? If the conclusion came between mom and dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's living?
Well, I know who's living now. That's point blank in my life.
This drunken motherfucker who barely came home every night, like this, he gotta go. You know, I mean, look, mama was the only one that was really genuine and true, like to you, you know, who could push you to those boundaries. Your dad was like, son, just get a goddamn job.
It doesn't matter, son. Here's the thing: you got to remember who is that person that's pushing a female to get do it. Because here's the thing, is the fact of the matter is in society is it was always the woman in the kitchen. When did it become that the woman was no longer looked at as the one that needs to be the kitchen,
well, but she could be a professional chef? Well, here's the thing, Mike. I'm gonna shut y'all both down.
Okay.
So you can say, and you can go in the industry, say, my mother, my grandmother, they gave me the history, the passion, and then they're going to say, that's great, but let me teach you this European white male way of cooking, right? These are the mother sauces. These are the proper knife cuts. Mm. This is the way you set up your mise en place. It has nothing to do with a woman at all, right?
Right.
So you go into that, and then the woman is no longer in the kitchen of a professional restaurant or hotel or whatever it is. And that's fine for women to cook at home. You may even have a walk-up restaurant, but we're not recognized to do a professional kitchen. And that's just the bottom line. Yeah. And most men you talk to, most male chefs who say their history is from a female matriarch, whatever her role was. But when you get in there and you get that Michelin star, you get that James Beard award, it's not because of a woman, but because what did a European male teach you? The proper way of cooking.
Yeah.
And we're going to recognize and award you for that. And that's just real. And I remember in college teaching taking a course about women as empresses, as leaders, and then that not being popular and that not being, you know, the mainstream and men kind of taking up. And we talked a little bit earlier about alpha male, alpha female, where they fail and all those things. But if I were to go forward and say, yo, I got my passion from my grandmother, my grandfather, my great aunts and uncles. But I went to culinary school and I learned classical French cuisine. Then I went to Le Cordon Bleu in Paris. Once again, classical French cuisine. Guess who gets credit for all the talent and accolades that I have? It's not my grandparents. It's not my grandmother. It's Escoffier who taught us classical French.
So wait a minute, hold on. Right now, Pooch is...
he just jumped on. Because we talked about French.
I just have a quick question, but go ahead. But before you do, here's the thing. If you learn something that is the curriculum, and that's what you learn, and that's the way that it's done, cool. Now, from your baseline, that's where chefs usually the ones who are creative and forward thinking, that's when they start from the base, they change, they add, they play, they do things. And all of a sudden there's recognition. I'm not saying that always happens, but I'm saying like at the end of the day, if there's a curriculum and somebody's learning that curriculum, great. Whether it's a female or a male, I just think today things are changing a little at a time.
Hmm.
I see it myself. I see it. I don't think it's perfect by any stretch, but I think it's changing. And even this conversation, the fact that we're talking about it, is part of the change.
Progress.
It's progress.
Here's my thought process on that, too, because we keep on relying upon the French cuisine, right? And that's the written cuisine. But I'm going to go take it back a little bit more. For me, I learned classically trained French. But I got into an industry that I loved, Asian cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And Asian cooking brings you back to years that are nowhere near to what French cooking is. And simplistic. Let's talk about simplicity.
Would you say that's why chefs are reverting now to loving, like, for instance, Keith, that everyone here at the table knows other than Carl? Shout out to Chef Darren. I love him. And I love everything he's saying. But I just wanted to know, like, do you think everybody at this table, do you think that's why chefs now are reverting back to, or not even reverting back to, reverting to Asian style of cooking, whether it be from the Middle East all the way to Asia and throw in India in there? But, like, you're going because it's And not that it's wrong, but the way we think and the way we've been trained, it's ass backwards. And that is so compelling to me. Like, I want more of it because I want you to be so contrary to what I know, because that now I'm still learning. It's forcing me to have to learn again.
But what is the difference? You're still learning a male dominated type of cuisine, whether it is in West or East, Touché. South or Touché. North.
But it's still
not. You're not talking about the mama-sans who do the cooking. You're talking about Asian cuisine, which is a male-dominated cuisine. Like, let's be real honest about it.
Touché.
And it's just the reality. And yeah, maybe we're getting more recognition. But bottom line, guys, if I were to interview the three of you and say, okay, Jeffrey or Carl or Pooch, like, you say, oh yeah, my mama taught me how to cook and my love of cook is from my mama. Bottom line is, you're going to recognize your traditional education and the restaurant you came from and your mentor, who probably is a guy, and your mom is way on the back seat, which that's what it is. And maybe we're getting more forward to say, there's some women in my life that I recognize.
Let me talk about my mentor, who is a guy.
Oh my gosh.
So I met Chef Jennifer.
You see, he interrupted me because that's what men do, but you go ahead.
Chef, I thought we were.
This is going to be the best episode
ever. I don't really have room under the table because he's manspreading as well.
He's manspreading.
But look, let me tell you, my mentor was a guy who I worked for years, right? Chef Jennifer Booker came to New Orleans and we went to the Ella Brennan Award dinner. Where they nominated all these chefs from New Orleans, who were the top chefs in New Orleans, right? And I met Chef Booker there in that time, and we talked that night. And you know what? The advice she gave me was so motherly. You know what she told me? Hey, you should go back to school. You should study. You should get this degree. You should look at, you know, these cooking techniques, and that's what would catapult your career. And my mentor, who was a man, you know what he told me? Oh, she don't know what the fuck she's talking about, you know? But that motherly instinct is what nourished all of us, right?
If we're going to be real, let's just be real. Your mentor also was trying to get me in bed.
Oh, I can't confirm what you know.
So, of course, he didn't want you to listen to the advice I had, because the advice I gave you was not trying to get in bed. It was real advice.
Look, even outside of that, you know.
Even outside of that.
No, but
even outside of that.
For so many years.
At the end of the day, that's what it always boils down to.
It boils down to it. But for so many years, you know, I have worked for someone. A male figure who was my mentor, who I thought was pushing me in the right direction. And when Chef introduced education and like learning, you know, like another level of success, he was against that. You know why? Because it would open my eyes to a whole other industry. And she Yeah. Being this mother figure, you know, it's selflessness is out of the way. You know, it's all about, you know, how can I catapult you into a different direction, you know, as my mentee, my brother, my son, you know, my nephew, whatever it is. But my male mentor was like, fuck that. I don't want him to learn any more than what I know, because
Not a mentor. Number one, that's not a mentor.
That's a douche.
No, it's not.
That's somebody who is, you know, obviously you filled a role in the kitchen there and he was taught just, you enough was, to get through it. But
yeah,
but hold on.
That was the thumb on the guy.
No, you're right.
That was this.
Look, yeah. You're right. Yeah.
But hold on a second. I think I'm onto something.
Uh-oh.
Bring it.
Real chefs of Dade County.
Let's go.
They're not, dude, they're not from
bad
here.
Boys,
no,
boys,
we're just because we're here
in Dade County today.
I know.
Come for you.
I mean,
and we can see P. Diddy's house from here.
Oh, yeah. I don't know where near P. Diddy or his house.
I don't want nothing to do with that. All right. So, but hold on. Wait. I want to get back to something here. Because the truth is, when somebody, and this is, I believe this, and I don't care about genders, I don't care, nothing, like none of these, like, oh God, I don't even like, so we don't usually do third rail stuff on the show, but the reality is it's out there, and this is the real world.
Of course,
I don't give a damn what color you are. I don't give a damn if you're a man or a woman. I don't care if you can do the job, then you do it. Yeah. And I feel a general consensus, it should be the general consensus that's what it is. We've come a long way. Because the fact is, I'm 50 years old. I've seen crappy things done to people, okay? Based on all sorts of things. And the reality is, if I today can look at things like this and say, you know what? It's the right man or woman or whatever for the job, whatever that job is, then that's what it should be.
Of course.
Well, period. Carl, I agree if you lived in a Shangri-La.
I wish I did.
Because you're a man, or young man, and you're a Latin young man, you believe and you have been taught you know more than I do as a woman who is a homeowner who is paying you to do these things. And that translates in the kitchen as well. I can tell my employees.
You're not wrong.
This is what I know because I know this. And they will tell me, yeah, but, or how about? And I think, damn, where do you get off telling me that, as the
that's
owner?
That's disrespectful.
It's not just, it's beyond disrespectful. It's what we're bringing up into our culinary, you know, industry to say we're raising our boys and our men to believe that because they are men or identify as men, they know more than women, period, all the time.
Walk and Talk Podcast, now sweetened by Noble Citrus. Bite into a juicy crunch tangerine, 40 years perfected, seedless and oh so tasty. Or savor a starburst pomelo, the giant citrus with a unique zing. Don't miss autumn honey tangerines, big and easy to peel. Noble, generations of citrus expertise, delivering exceptional flavor year-round. Taste the difference with Noble Citrus. I think the older you get, and here's the thing, there's
well,
no
watch,
16.
Watch that older stuff, man. Just gonna get under that.
No. This is
because the next thing you're gonna be singing, the younger you get, and then I'm gonna be offended.
No, hold on. There's no 16-year-old that knows any damn thing. I'm just sorry. About that.
Yeah, but they believe they do. That's what blows my whole head off.
Yeah, but you know what? When we were 16, we actually did think that too.
They know what they was told.
Yes. No.
Yeah.
But you know what?
That's what it is.
There's 14 and 15-year-old females, little girls, who think they know more than mom and dad also. Mm-hmm. Like it's not what I'm trying to get at here is I don't put any credence into people who don't know what they're doing or they don't know what they're saying. If that kid was doing my yard, I'd fire his ass and say, "Hey, look, it's not working out." And I would get somebody in who knows what they were doing.
And it's funny
or listen to you.
Recently, he tried to hit me up for like more money. So initially, I was paying him by the hour to do whatever, pruning, raking, whatever. And I thought, God, you're so slow. Like, I'm dying a slow death watching you do these things. That's the chef in her right there.
Listen, there's 7,233 leaves. It takes you 3 minutes to do 725. And that division is 12 hours
cut one grass, you fucked up. You gotta go.
No, that's real. So my sister is like, yo, you need to pay him by the job. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. So he tried to hit me up for more money. He came, he brought his brother. He's like, yo, I'm trying to do this quick, so I'm hiring my brother. And I'm like, okay, do A, B, and C. He's like, well, you just do A and B. So are you paying me more money? And I was just offended. And I said, because this is just me, I was like, well, no, because I'm not even paying you by the hour any longer because you're too slow. Let's call it what it is. So do your A, B, and I'm not going to pay you for C. Because if I've paid you to prune and X, Y, and Z to make your job easier, why am I now paying you extra money to do these things?
Because you ain't getting paid for D, A, B, C. Look, if I got to reach it to D,
that does not compute.
I'm reaching to my savings account now at this point. But listen, and I ain't reaching to my savings account for nobody, goddamn it.
Hold on. Listen now. Here's the situation.
That is true. Yes.
You... Chef Jennifer, you are inadvertently teaching him. See, because what ends up happening, especially
you're mentoring another one, you don't even know it.
Yeah, but I'm mentoring him in my pocket.
Yeah, no. This isn't a mentorship. Look,
you don't want to pay for the mentorship.
Yes,
you want to
listen. I'm speaking truths here, and the reality is he's learning from you're not mentoring him, but he's learning from you because he's an entrepreneur. He's got his business going. He's doing his thing, and he's doing it wrong.
Yes.
And now you, the person who's paying for the work is going to say, I'm not paying you anymore. Yeah. And here's why.
Yeah.
And let him learn from that because he's a dumb 16-year-old. Mm. And that's what it is.
But
and
he's
then,
not, he's
and then
not
you get, sometimes you get, well, you sure he is.
I give him props. Like he did the job. We talked about it. I'll pay you to do X, Y, and Z. Okay. And you brought your brother.
I didn't say he's Elon Musk. I didn't say he's like billionaire. I'm saying he's an entrepreneur.
Pay his brother, like you're fired. I'm hiring your brother because he's all about it. But the bottom line is, dang, I'm tired of being the mentor. Can somebody mentor and pay me?
I'm trying to help you. I'm just trying.
All right, so you heard it first right there on the Walk and Talk.
Well, the thing is this.
Look, Chef Booker is looking for a mentor.
Look, people,
976.
Listen, people take mentors and they think that they're supposed to catapult their career. Look, put finances in their bank.
Wait.
Right? Take care of them.
Who thinks that?
Here's the thing about that. I just want to point out, do you have a younger mentor? See, I think if you're mentor. Because if you're at my age, especially my age.
Okay.
I want
to. Well, you always fuck.
Sugar
baby, you.
No, I don't want that at all.
www.sugarbaby.com.
Wow.
Do I have a younger mentor? I have had a younger boss, which is a different dance, right? So I have to suggest in a very easy way of, hey, I know you want to do A, B, and C, but how about X, Y, and Z? Because they're my boss at the end of the day, right? So to have a younger mentor is a different dance, but you can still learn. Like, let's be honest, there's so much to learn from someone who's younger than you.
That's case in point.
For sure. So, as well as someone who's older than you.
Well, that's the only thing social media can't learn shit else from.
But as a woman,
they can't give you shit else about nothing.
Oh my gosh.
Only social media, how to navigate the world today.
Yeah.
That's it.
Outside but that's of a that, lot. Look, that's a lot too.
That is a lot.
But you know,
it's important. But the thing is, look, they can't give you shit else. They can't tell you how to be a great person, a great human being. They don't know shit. Only thing they know is how to put a fucking reel up on TikTok.
But this is what I'm trying to get at. Okay. I'm circling the drain on this, I feel like.
But yes.
But people either have an experience or and something to offer, or they don't, and either they want to learn or they're not wanting to learn.
Right.
So whether you're looking for a relationship, whether you're looking for an employee, all of these things you need to listen. I've had a hire and fire. I have hired and fired many people, and unfortunately, you meet somebody right away, and you're like, oh man. This one's going to be great. They're going to be great. And it turns out they're not great. And you either have to help them be what they can be or let them go and learn their lesson.
I will say that,
I'm going to let you go.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. Only this time.
Oh my God.
That's your mentor.
Yes. And then you have to navigate the male female relationship, right?
Sure.
So even if you're the mentor or the mentee, sex is always on the table.
Sure.
So it's we do the dance of you can never get it, but you want it. So let's do that dance or let's get out of the way. So now we can get down to business. So that's like that whole other dance as a mentor mentee. And then in my belief, boys and girls could be friends. I have my mentor. Absolutely not. He's like, but baby, that's not in reality. I'm like, well, I don't understand. Why can't we just be friends? He's like, that's not real. And so
that's the most unreal possibility ever.
But I don't understand why not. Like, if we're friends and we have a common goal and we have a conversation and I'm not interested and I don't think you're interested, but obviously you are because now we're not friends. There's all that you have to navigate, too, right? That's another level down.
The thing is this. Everybody
that's
is,
at the walk and talk.
Hold on.
Relationships.com.
Hold on, look. www.blackpantymeat.com. But the thing is this, though. Everybody is out for something.
Oh, Jesus.
Don't get it twisted, right?
They are not.
Look.
Sure they are. That's the truth.
Hold on.
Out for something like what?
Look, Chef Jennifer Hill Booker, you're out tonight because this is my podcast, you know?
No, it's not. No, I am here because Jeffrey said, yo, I'm hanging out in Miami, come through.
That's honest.
I think this was the last thing I would want to put Jennifer up to.
I told Chef Darren,
hey, I'm hanging out with Chef Jeffrey. We're having dinner, come through.
Hold on, but look what I'm telling you.
What?
I think that, you know, male, female, whatever you
are. I'm sorry, Carl. Can you just put him on mute?
why would you want to put me on mute? That's fucked up.
That'd be wrong.
Because you got to get to South Beach. And the only way you get to South Beach is if I call you a Lyft. Because if I don't call you a Lyft, you don't even know how to use Lyft.
Oh, Lord. There we go.
But I'm just saying.
No, he's doing the generation gap again.
No. I'm saying in general.
So chivalrous. Thank you.
Look, not to be disrespectful, whatever. I'm just saying it. In general, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look, the world is evolving, okay? And this is the approach you have to take. You know what? It's not a lot of people from your generation.
Jesus.
Look.
He just said your generation. I don't know if I'm supposed to take offense to that.
You shouldn't, because even from my generation, right, who would be sitting here right now having this discussion and being comfortable having this discussion about... You know, about life, about the world. It's not a lot of people who would be willing to do that, you know. And so this is what I think. I think that, first of all, Chef Jennifer Booker is a hidden gem.
It's Jennifer Hill Booker.
Hill Booker. Okay. God damn it. Why you want to do that to me? Chef Jennifer Hill Booker
She just pulled the hill out.
Hold on. Hill. She must have been love that motherfucker. Who was Hill?
Hill was my main
was that your
name.
Third husband or your second?
That was Daddy.
that was Zaddy with the Z. God damn it. But I'm just saying, look. People are like, where we come from, you know, you don't get this platform. You don't get to do what we do. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, tonight when I rode up to meet with Chef Booker, I ain't no shit about a fucking podcast. God damn it. I don't know what a podcast is, and I don't know what a podcast do. But I'll tell you what. Look, I'm willing to sit here because it's only realness at the table.
Yeah, you're that's 100%.
You're dealing with a real chef. First of all, look, put me out of the equation. I'm 31 years old.
Oh.
You understand? Yeah, damn you, goddamn it. You know what? Look, what's your name is again?
Mine?
Yeah, yours.
Yeah, my name's Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, fuck you.
I love you too.
But I'm saying that, you know, you don't get this many introductions into this world.
Mm-hmm. No.
You know, because there was no podcast when she was being a chef.
Nope.
When when she was coming up in the game, in the industry.
Was on a podcast?
No. No, when you were coming up, there was nothing known as a podcast.
That's rude. I was
an
NPR.
Look, what the fuck was look, Carmen Sandiego was the closest you get to her in AOL.
I'm not your mentor anymore.
It don't matter. You can refute me.
So, chef, what do you have coming up next? What are you working on?
Well, I have some exciting things coming up in the future. I was selected as a James Beard Foundation WinStar Cruise All-Star Chef to be a guest chef on one of their four cruises in 2025.
That's awesome.
Super excited about that.
That's
I was
awesome.
Able to be a chef for them in 2022. Beautiful ship. I'm currently working on my third children's illustrated cookbook, which is Regina Bina Bakes a Birthday Cake. And it's stories about my childhood through their lens in the Mississippi Delta. And I'm working on an autobiography, which is entitled Life After the Hotline. Like, where do chefs go to die? Like, you never see old chefs, infirm chefs. Like, where are they?
What's the exit strategy?
Absolutely.
But, yeah, there's one. It's the whole, like, story. And it's not good.
So working on that. And then I'm doing some what I call, like, kind of one-off, one-ingredient cookbooks. So I did a Rice Twice, which is what to do with leftover rice. Like, put an egg on it. Like, what's great with an egg on it? So just playing around, seeing what's out there and, you know, empty nesting. COVID is like really threw my life upside down. Like I identified as a wife, then a chef, then a mother, and then COVID. And I'm like, well, shit, I don't have an identity. Like, who am I? And so just kind of getting back to what I love and what I want to do.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned something earlier. About a chapter in the book about you wish you had a wife.
Yes.
Talk about that real quick before we cut.
Was this in the green room?
Yes.
So my experience in the culinary world is I like chefs and I like alpha chefs. And I understand like most chefs say they want an equal helpmate, which I found to be you want someone to hold you down while you do your career. And when I got divorced and my sister was living with me, she had recently been divorced. And so she kind of took on the role as the wife, right? And I equated it to a husband and wife who were no longer interested in sex, right? We had separate bedrooms, but we still worked as a family.
Right.
And she would make sure the kids got off to school. She would make my breakfast. She would make sure we did the groceries. And I thought, this is awesome. I see why men want a wife. I too would like a wife. So it's one of the chapters in the autobiography I'm working on. Yeah, because it's absolutely amazing, and I see why men like that. I want one too.
All right, I can.
That's why his mic is off.
I can appreciate that because that's where I'm at too, man.
Yes,
I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah,
I thought that was cool. I'm gonna check out some of your books.
Thank you.
All right.
But you can find me on ChefJenniferHillBooker.com. My restaurant is BauhausBeerGarden.com. Check me out. I got books and spices, and the restaurant is a beer garden and lots of fun.
Moulin Rouge.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. We're gonna check that out.
Thank you
for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chef.
Everybody, Chef Darren, the gang, everyone. Pooch,
in the background.
Everyone.
Your mic is off, Chef.
Chef, mic is off. And Daddy learned a lesson.
Put
my goddamn mic on.
There you go. Quick, we're rolling out.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carl. Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
No, the pleasure is ours. Chefs in Central Florida area, please check out Peninsula Food Service. Check them out. We are out.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.